Welcome to the Empire Builders Podcast, teaching business owners the not-so-secret techniques that took famous businesses from mom and pop to major brands. Stephen Semple is a marketing consultant, story collector, and storyteller. I'm Stephen's sidekick and business partner, Dave Young. Before we get into today's episode, a word from our sponsor, which is, well, it's us. But we're highlighting ads we've written and produced for our clients. So here's one of those.
There you are, Jesse.
Mr. Rubin, sir?
It's a big day here at Cole Air Cooling and Heating.
Ooh, is it somebody's birthday?
Even better. One of our trainees passed their proficiency tests.
Awesome! I just wrote mine. I was so nervous.
But this trainee got a perfect score.
Perfect score? Serious?
Yeah, first time ever.
Wow! Was it Sandra? She's so smart. I bet it was Sandra.
No, Sandra hasn't written yet.
Was it Kyle? Nobody's better than Kyle at the diagnostic stuff.
Believe it or not, this person scored higher than Kyle.
Amazing! Should we order a cake?
Great idea, Jesse.
I'll get Dutch chocolate. Everyone loves Dutch chocolate.
As long as you like it.
I love it, sir.
Just as well.
Call Cole Air because we care.
Get Cole Air cool. Visit callcoleair.com.
So, what should we write on the cake?
Write this message down. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Jesse.
How do you spell that, sir?
License number 6249C.
Welcome back to the Empire Builders Podcast. Dave Young here along with Stephen Semple. I really don't have much for the topic that Stephen just whispered into my ear other than I know the brand name.
Yeah.
It's Pain Relief and it's Anison.
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 And I'm trying to remember, there's one of those brands, it was either Anison or Bayer or Excedrin that combined a little aspirin with a little caffeine maybe or something like that. But I don't know if this is the one.
You're actually really, as usual, David, very, very close. Pretty much on the money.
All right. Okay.
So the first commercial painkiller created was aspirin. And that was created in 1897 by a German chemist. And the product was branded Bayer, with Bayer being, if you remember on it, Bayer was done as a cross, right? So it's Bayer. Like it was Bayer left to right, Bayer vertical, the Y's meeting in the middle, and it formed this
like
little...
Like the Red Cross and all of that, yeah.
Yeah. Now, it first of all started in 1897, it was a powder, and it was in 1914 where it changed to a tablet and had that branding on it. And Bayer was marketed by promoting the product to doctors who then told patients, okay? So it was all about inform the doctor would inform patients. Anison changed the rules and changed the rules for marketing of medicinal products forever because they came into the market and decided to advertise to the patient who would then go to the pharmacist and demand it.
Okay.
So up until this point, everything was marketed to the doctor, to the doctor, to the doctor, to the doctor. And instead, Anison was the first to come along and say, nope, we're going to go direct to the consumer. We're going to market to the patient, and the patient is going to walk up to the pharmacist and say, hey, I want some Anison. And if that happens enough, guess what's going to happen? The pharmacist is going to carry Anison.
Yeah, it's like the Wrigley Spearmint Gum story.
Wrigley Spearmint Gum story, but done in the medical space. And again, it's one of these things where for so long, you could sit there and go, oh, yeah, but that works for gum. Yeah, that works for this. That works for parcel services. That works for all this other stuff. But all of a sudden, it's like, but medicine is different. Medicine is not different. And we're seeing it today. How many drugs do we see being advertised today where it's advertised direct to the consumer, where it's ask your doctor, talk to your doctor about this? Because what they know is if you walk into the doctor's office asking about it, the doctor will then make sure they know about it and likely prescribe it. Anison started advertising in the 1940s on the radio. And here's what the spot claimed, that Anison is like a doctor's prescription, not just one, but a combination of several medically active ingredients. They have the extra ingredient that's missing from aspirin.
Okay. The extra ingredient that's missing.
The extra ingredient that's missing. But it's that whole idea, like you were saying, and you even said, you remembered, isn't it the one where they had this extra thing? And that's what they talked about.
Yeah.
We've got more. We have three medically active ingredients. Aspirin has one. That was kind of how they went about doing it on the radio. Then when they went to television, this is when it really took off. So the ad would show either a husband or a wife that would snap because of a headache, right? So so they would get mad at their spouse about something. And inevitably, it would be something small, right? But it'd be the straw that broke the camel's back, right? Then an inside voice would say, control yourself. sure you have a headache, don't take it out on them, right? So the voice is like, David, control yourself. Sure you have a headache, but you don't need to take it out on Susan.
On the kids.
They then took an Anison and were happy, right? Transformational
sure.
ad.
Uh-huh.
And then the differentiator about the ingredient would come out at the end of the ad. We've got these three ingredients. When they started doing this, sales increased from 18 million to 54 million in 18 months.
Wow.
Right?
A lot of people being angry at somebody.
Yes.
They don't want to be.
Right. Now, what's interesting is this Anison ad is very studied in marketing. And I think the study is a misinterpretation because what many marketers will show this ad as being, this ad is a demonstration of the power of unique selling proposition. So, you know, we always hear about what's your USP, what's your unique differentiator.
Yeah.
And the unique differentiator is the extra ingredients, the extra ingredient. The reason why everybody's buying this is the extra ingredient. See, this ad proves that unique selling propositions work. I don't believe that that's the reason why, because they didn't have huge success with the radio ad. They had huge success with the TV ad. And what happened in the TV ad was actually transformation. So we had identification, snapping at somebody because we have a headache, shared experience, all done it, right? So we can relate to the person. Voice inside your head saying, you shouldn't take it out on them. We've all felt that way.
Sure.
And then the cure to that being Anison. So Anison is the transformation to the habit that you want, where all of a sudden there's now harmony in the family.
Uh-huh.
And then they had on the end, okay, yeah, we've got this extra ingredient. I believe those ads would have worked even without the stating of the extra ingredient. The extra ingredient was just this little extra differentiator that said, yeah, Bayer's not going to quite work as well as Anison. You want Anison to cure this problem.
Yeah. Anison's going to make you feel a little different.
Anison's going to make you feel a little different. But I actually believe the reason why the ads worked was because of this combination of shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're able to speak to the voice inside somebody's head, it's killer. We've all had that experience where you snapped at somebody and had this guilty feeling saying, I shouldn't have taken it out on Susan.
Yeah.
And then Anison being the cure for that situation. Anison being the transformation to the, being the person you want to be, which is the one that's not snapping at your significant other. And the part that they did that was really great is they did it with men snapping at their wives. They did it with wives snapping at their husbands. They did both. They ran that equally. And I thought that that was also very powerful, especially, you know, back in the 50s when it would have been very popular just to kind of beat up on the female. In this, they shared this burden on both sides. I thought it was really interesting. You know, it's this early example of actually this transformational ad that was misinterpreted as being, hey, this is an example of why unique selling propositions are really strong. And I've always had this belief that USPs are overrated in their strength.
Same.
In that what really sells something is emotional connection. And these ads built that emotional connection.
Stay tuned. We're going to wrap up this story and tell you how to apply this lesson to your business right after this.
Hey, Rick, I'm glad we got out again.
Yeah.
What's going on?
My digital advertising's got more expensive and it doesn't seem to be working as well.
I see.
Nice drive, by the way.
So?
I don't know how I'm going to keep growing. I feel like I'm going sideways, flattening out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you speak to Steven?
You mean this podcast host?
Yep.
Not yet.
Do you like going sideways?
No. I want to be growing.
Well?
Starter session.
Yep.
Five iron?
Sure. Oh, and you can book your free starter session on this podcast website.
Your turn, Dave.
Let's pick up our story where we left off, and trust me, you haven't missed a thing. Honestly, I don't know that that's totally unique. Anybody else could do that. I love tying it to an emotion that you don't want to have.
Yes.
And saying, this is how you get rid of that.
Yes.
Right. And then you're tying that emotion to the real source, which is you've got something that's aching, right? It's your head. It's your foot, it's something. So if you could ease the pain, you might get into a different mindset.
Yeah.
And if a little caffeine might give you the little bump. At the same time, I think people are also experiencing just a bit of placebo effect.
Oh, sure.
I took the thing. I feel a little different. I've read studies that say a placebo effect works even better if there's some kind of side effect.
Oh, yeah. And it's been proven that, you know, when we've put labeling on fast acting, that people will report it acting so much faster. In other words, you're feeling the effect before it's actually even chemically possible. So the placebo effect's a real thing. Now, one of the things I want to caution people on, whenever you're marketing to pain, you got to be careful. When you associate your product with pain, that's a real negative emotion. You have to be very, very careful and right out of the gate, pivot to being the solution. You don't want to be associated with the pain. You want to be associated with the transformation. You just got to be really careful when you do that style of marketing. It can blow up in your face. But I just thought Anison was, you know, just such a great early example of this whole voice inside the head and being this demonstration of this transformational story. That's all one that we relate to.
So you could say something like, oh, you're being really nice today. You must have had some Anison. Right? We attribute it to your niceness.
Yeah.
We attribute your niceness to the product.
But yeah. Talk about a killer campaign when you take something from 18 million to 54 million in 18 months.
Yeah, that's huge. That's just amazing.
Like that's putting the ball out of the park.
Aspirin, caffeine, what was the third? It's probably just chalk.
Yeah, who knows? That was their big thing. And then we have these three ingredients in terms of a little bit of a differentiator. But it was, this, again, that little bit of a differentiator at the end that sort of allowed the consumer to go, yes, I need pain medication, but it needs to be this one for this set of reasons.
You know, there have also been a lot of brands studied where just the wording on the package can make a difference in how people feel it was effective.
Oh, yes.
So if you buy extra strength Tylenol for arthritis,
yep.
It's the exact same product as just extra strength Tylenol in the same dosage.
Yes.
But it doesn't say for arthritis on the label. So you buy the one that does that or for back pain, right?
Language and labeling and things like that is so powerful. As you know, I used to do work with a company that did consulting to the medical space. And we had a regulatory division that actually worked with Health Canada and the FDA on labeling. And yeah, there's very, very specific rules and regulations around how you can label drug products and the words that you can use, because what is known is it actually has an impact on the effectiveness, you know, of the drug. And yeah, labeling and whatnot is a very, very regulated in the medical space for those reasons. Because yes, as soon as you say this, it then carries all this other stuff, but it also speaks to how powerful words are. And I think we discount how, like, as you said, just the fact you say this is for back pain, all of a sudden, if you gave that person the non-back pain one and the back pain one, they would report, oh no, this one works better on my back. And it's exactly the same. Words and language is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful.
Yeah. I think of other products like Midol that's you know, targeted at premenstrual pain and things like that. And it's also aspirin and caffeine.
Right.
Right. And I think sometimes the formulation might be a little bit different, but you're just targeting something else and stating that targeting in either the name of the product or the description of it. And somehow it magically makes a difference.
Well, and here's the other funny thing is, if you took that very same drug, and let's say you've got this one drug that can actually do these 27 things effectively, and if you put on the label, it works for this, 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 we dismiss it. A snake oil. But yet, if you did the same product, 27 different packages where you say it works for this, all of a sudden we're far more accepting that it works for that.
Yeah.
Now, some people say it's misleading, but is it? You're just saying, no, this works for back pain, which it does, but it also works a bunch of other things. But it's sort of this weird thing in that happens with messaging and whatnot. But part that I want people to take away is if you have a product or a service that is transformational, that takes a person from one state to another, what you need to do in your ads is take a person through that journey.
Yeah.
You got to take them through that journey. You can't just sit there and say, it solves this pain. No, you've got to take them from the pain to the product, to the solution. You have to take them through the journey and say your product or service is the conduit to take you through this place.
Yeah.
But you got to take them through the journey.
Powerful message. I love the idea of taking them through that journey. And marketing-wise, right, there's something that feels a little odd about this, but yet it's true. And it's about how humans think. It's about how we process information. And I don't think Anison's lying to you, right? I don't think Midol's lying to you. And I think you could use the same product to do all the things that you said, but we have this weird belief. And if you really want to get to the source of it, Terry Pratchett wrote novels a while back called Wizard's First Rule. No, Terry Goodkind, not Pratchett. And you got to get to like page 400 and something into the book to figure out what Wizard's first rule is. And it's just basically, people are stupid. That's Wizard's first rule. We'll believe a lie willingly, right? I don't have to necessarily believe that it's going to help my arthritis intellectually. I just have to
believe it emotionally.
Willingly tell myself, hey, I've done something for it. So I feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
There's a big truth to that. It's an interesting topic and I love talking about it. So I'm glad you brought up the Anison story. And next time I'm achy and I need a second cup of coffee, maybe I'll just reach for some Anison.
And the other lesson that I want people to take away that we talked about here is, and it didn't specifically have to do with Anison, but more some of the little branches we went off of, specifics are more powerful than generalities. And that's always the case. And that's one of the things you see mm-hmm. going on with some of these other labelings. I'm glad that you found the Anison story interesting.
All right. Thanks for sharing it.
All right. Thanks, David.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please share us, subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and leave us a big, fat, juicy 5-star rating and review. And if you have any questions about this or any other podcast episode, email to questions@theempirebuilderspodcast.com.